Why did you come to Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you were to stop and think about that, and perhaps even write a little story about how you came to Jesus Christ, I dare say your focus would be on events. But you may not recognize that behind the scenes was the work of God the Holy Spirit. That God was leading and God was guiding and God was working to bring you to that place where you saw your need of a Savior and you believed that the Lord Jesus Christ had truly died on the cross and taken the penalty for your sin. That person behind the scenes that you may not have recognized at the time, but now you should know, is the Holy Spirit of God. God is in three persons. And so our church doctrinal statement says this, under letter E. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Trinity. We believe in the Holy Spirit, who is the third person of the Trinity, and that he convicts the world of sin, regenerates, indwells, enlightens, empowers, baptizes, guides, teaches, and sanctifies all who become the children of God through Christ. Now there's a condition, and it's in that last phrase, all who become the children of God through Jesus Christ. Now that statement that I just read is out of your church constitution and out of your church statement of faith. We believe in the Holy Spirit. We've already talked about God the Father, that was number two. We talked about God the Son, that was number three. We talked about sin last week and salvation. And today we talk about the Holy Spirit. Now, I did not write the doctrinal statement, so I'm not sure why they put the Holy Spirit after the doctrine of salvation instead of right after the doctrine of Jesus Christ. But be that as it may, we believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. One God, and yet manifested as three persons. And many times, people kind of ignore the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And yet, his ministry is the one that you are most in contact with. Because God the Father is sitting upon the throne in heaven. God the Son presently is sitting at his right hand on another throne next to his Father in heaven, making intercession for you and for me. Well, what about God the Holy Spirit? Where is he sitting? Well, he is sitting in this room this morning, in your life and in my life, if we know Jesus Christ is our Savior. The Holy Spirit has come to indwell. And we will run into that in just a moment. But let's look at what's up on the screen, if you will, please. We believe in the Holy Spirit. Now this morning we read from John chapter 14, and I would refer you back there if you would for a few moments, though we are going to bounce around all over the place. We're going to keep coming back to John 14. John 14 is an incredible, if I can use that word, an incredibly flexible ministry of God the Father. And John 14 teaches us so much about so many things related to Christ, to God the Father, and to God the Holy Spirit. You recall that John 14 started out with, in my Father's house. So we're introduced to God the Father immediately. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, would I have told you? Now, you'll notice that I always reverse two words when I read that verse. The way it is written in the King James Version, for whatever reason, is certainly slightly confusing to me. Maybe not to you, but to me. The way it reads, if it were not so, I would have told you. Well, why not change two words around? If it were not so, would I have told you? Of course I wouldn't have told you if it wasn't so. Now, who is speaking? God the Son. So we have God the Father, we have God the Son, all in the same verse. Then we come down, all the way down to verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Old King James, another comforter. The word is parakletos, paraclete. One called alongside to assist you. When you have heartaches and problems, there's usually somebody that you can go to and unload on. Now, yes, you can go to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, but I mean another human person. It may be a brother, a sister, it may be a friend, it may be a family member. But you have somebody that you can go and unload on, usually. In fact, if you don't have somebody like that, you are headed for trouble. People who commit suicide tend to be people who do not recognize the comfort of other people around them. They don't have a comforter. They don't have a helper. They don't have a friend. Over in the Old Testament, we have this word, he that would have friends must show himself friendly. Remember that one? And then it says, there is a friend who sticketh closer than a brother. Now, we know who that friend is. Ultimately, it's God himself, isn't it? But you and I have a helper. Jesus said, I am going to give you another helper. I want you to notice the word another. There are two words, another, that are used in the Greek language in the New Testament. One means another of the same kind. The other one means another of a different kind. The word is alaros, another of exactly the same kind. That is the word that Jesus used here. And so he said, I am going to give you another comforter just like me. Now, who is it that it was going to be just like Jesus? He goes on in verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him. What's important about the word him? Someone asked a very intelligent question the other day. How do we know God is masculine and not feminine? Or neuter, neutral, neither male nor female. Well, God has chosen to use the masculine word to describe himself from Genesis chapter 1 all the way through to Revelation 22, the last chapter. And here it says, I'm going to give you another comforter, someone just like me, who is the Spirit, and he, masculine, says he, but you know him, another masculine, for he dwells with you. Now look at the next words. Will be in you. That's future. Jesus says, presently, I am going to give you another comforter, and he's just like me. He's an exact copy. He's a carbon copy of me. He is my twin, so to speak. and he has been with you. You look through the Old Testament and you remember the Holy Spirit would come upon certain people. And you remember David felt very close to the Holy Spirit, and so when he sinned so terribly with Bathsheba, and then he was brought to repentance, you remember he said this, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me," or "take not your Spirit from me." You as a Christian better not ever pray that prayer. Because if you do, it shows a lack of understanding. Now in this verse, which was the night before Jesus dies on the cross, right? In this verse, he says, "He has been with you, but he shall be in you," future tense. And so you rightly should ask the question, if those disciples had the Holy Spirit with them, but not in them, when would the Holy Spirit come to dwell in them? And when does he come to dwell in you? And when did he come to dwell in me? And so it takes just a little bit of study to figure this out. Because in John chapter 20, which you recall is the resurrection chapter in John, in John chapter 20, you remember that the disciples, the night after Jesus was raised from the dead and had come to visit them in the upper room, said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You say, where's that? Well, let me back up to verse 19. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be to you.' Now when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them, 'Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" Now that's when the 10 apostles, did you hear what I said? I said 10. What about number 12? He committed suicide. His name was Judas Iscariot, who'd betrayed Christ. Now we're down to 11. But why did I say 10? Because there was one that was not there that night. His name was Thomas. And he got a nickname. Verse 26. "After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came in the doors being shut and stood in the midst and said, 'Peace to you.' Then he said to Thomas, 'Reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put them into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing.' And Thomas answered and said to him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said, 'Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed.'" Who are they? Us. Have you ever seen Jesus? No. Do you believe? Yes. You have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior at some time? If not, today's the day of reckoning, my friend. Back to chapter 14. Jesus goes on to say, "I will not leave you orphans." Why? Because the Holy Spirit's going to be with you guys. And then you come over to Acts chapter 2. And the Holy Spirit came down and indwelt 3,000 that day. And that began the church, of which you and I are a little part. Each individual Christian is a part of the church, the body of Christ. We'll talk about that doctrine in weeks ahead. Now, that is my introduction to the Holy Spirit. Obviously, we're not going to get through my notes today, but I want to at least lay down that much of a foundation for you. He is the third person of the Trinity. How do we know that? Well, Jesus said so in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. And what did Jesus say? Go into the world, make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. The word ghost, Old English, means guest. A guest is someone who comes to stay in your house, right? The Holy Spirit comes to stay in my heart house. The Holy Spirit lives inside my body. The Holy Spirit lives inside your body if you are a trusting child of God. Now, sometimes Scripture puts it this way, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, which is it? Is it Christ or is it the Holy Spirit? Well, think about what you know. God the Father sits on the throne. God the Son sits at his right hand. God the Holy Spirit lives in you. But God the Holy Spirit is an exact copy of Jesus Christ. So is it possible the Holy Spirit then can say that I have formed Jesus Christ in you? 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, therefore, if any man, woman, boy, girl, is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. A new creation. Christ in you, the hope of glory.